You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, yesterday in Romans chapter 6, we were reading about, like in verse 11 and following, how it says, if we are risen with Christ, and every believer is, if you've put your faith in Christ and been saved, it says that we are no longer to let sin reign in our mortal body. Well, hi, everybody. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and this is Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. And Bert, you know what? This week I was counseling with a man, and he was talking about, he said, sometimes I still feel temptation. Am I still saved? And I said, well, and he explained how he had come to Christ, and I believe that, yes, indeed, he was saved. And I said, you know, just because you feel temptations doesn't mean that you're not saved. Sometimes when you really do commit your way to the Lord, that's when the devil seems to turn up the heat and really try to tempt you. But as a believer, sin should not be in the driver's seat. We're supposed to follow the Spirit of God and live a life honoring to Christ, aren't we?
We really are. He is on the throne, and that's where he needs to stay. When Jesus comes in, he comes in as Lord, and you need to, you know, every area of your life. I think it was D.L. Moody, some women was praying for him, Lord, let every room in Mr. Moody's heart be yours. And, you know, if you're not careful, you'll have a stash away somewhere in a house, or you'll have a one room, you know, kind of keep the stuff away.
Or junk room.
A junk room, a drawer. Listen, no junk rooms in our lives where God is off bounds. He needs to have lordship over every area of our lives, Alex. And when that does, that doesn't mean temptation won't come, but it does mean that you're on solid ground to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, be an overcomer.
Amen. Well, this is Exploring the Word with Bert and Alex, and you know, we're going to take some calls. Today is a very significant day, as I'm sure everyone knows. And I want us to pray. This is the day that many will remember. You know, 9/11 happened back in 2001, and I remember that. And I have shared in times past how for 2 weeks I went to New York City with the Billy Graham Ministry. And Bert, one of the things that always made an impression on me, the Sunday after 9/11, I got a copy of the New York Times, and there were about 24 pages, full-page ads, nations around the world, Greece and France and Israel and many nations, certainly Great Britain. They put full-page ads in the Sunday edition of the New York Times just, you know, 4 or 5 days after 9/11, and they said, America, you've been there for us, the greatest nation in the world. Whoever did this, we will stand with you. And, you know, I love America. nowadays, it does grieve my heart when many in the media seem to be critical and really denigrate the United States of America. But in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, people were grieving for the loss of lives, trying to find out what happened. But people of all strata were turning to God and praying for America. And I think there was a great outpouring of love and sympathy for America after 9/11. I'm just going to say it, Bert. Yeah, our home is in heaven as a Christian believer, but I love the USA. I care about the USA, and I think we are supposed to cherish and look after our nation and see that our nation looks to God Almighty for our sustenance and provision, don't you?
I agree with you, Alex. What a blessing America has been to believers. God has just put this a cradle of democracy, representative republic, and what an opportunity it's been for the church in America. And listen, I love the United States of America, but I just want to tell you, God loves the whole world, but he has blessed the United States of America with the resources and the capacity to influence the world for good. And we've done it in the past many, many times. Do we have we had hiccups? Have we had blind spots? Well, let me see. We're human beings, Alex, so that means it's going to be a part of it. But listen, we thank God for our country. So we're going to pray. Yesterday, Tuesday, we usually do, and it slipped, but I think it may have been sometimes the Lord even uses our bad memory for his good, that we could, okay, we're not doing it on Tuesday, but we are doing it this Wednesday on 9/11, and I think we need to do that. Also, Francine, the hurricane is coming through, and I know we're here in Mississippi, the Gulf Coast there. I've got a lot of listeners on the Gulf Coast and in Louisiana and part of the southern part of Alabama, and the tides coming in, you know, that storm surge. So we want to be praying for them. And, you know, so tornadoes come off of it. We were in a drought down this way. So a lot of the trees are vulnerable to high winds. So we got a lot to pray for. But I think we need to do that today, Alex.
Amen. And also, let me encourage people to pray for our nation. We have the election now, I don't know, I think maybe 54 days away. And we certainly need to pray for that. And, you know, so many issues are up for grabs. Our Constitution, you know, last night in the debate, there was a lot said about abortion. And I'm just going to say this very briefly. Here is the answer that Christian or non-Christian, anybody should be able to get their mind around. Our Constitution guarantees the right to life for all human beings. Therefore, there is legal protection for the unborn, you know? And so, folks, I've said this and I'll say it again. When it comes to the upcoming election, I mean, there are dozens of issues, obviously. But the two issues that will tell you every other issue, pretty much, where does a candidate stand on the sanctity of human life, and where does a candidate stand on the nation of Israel? I mean, and if somebody stands believing in moral truth, that human life is a gift from God, and Israel has the right to exist and the right to self-defense, then you'll know how to vote. Where do they stand on life? Where do they stand on Israel? But Bert, that being the case, the storm Francine, the commemoration of 9/11, the need for a revival, and the upcoming election, I would just love for us to begin our Exploring the Word today in prayer. Would you lead us?
I will. Father, we do praise you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. While we were yet sinners, Christ would come and die for us. And Father, we praise you for your goodness that you've demonstrated again and again and again. And Father, we come and approach you, understanding that there's sin, and sin is a reproach to you. We want to call them mistakes and weaknesses and, you know, human nature. But Father, we need, according to what we read today in the book of Romans, we need to understand sin is serious with you. And Father, we turn away from our sin individually. And Father, as Americans, we look unto you, asking you for your mercy, your grace. It's not that we're so deserving, but Father, because of your grace and mercy, you have bestowed upon us freedoms and liberty that a lot of the other countries never have had. And we have used it many, many times wisely in the area of missions, in the area of freedom of other countries. And we thank you for that. And we pray that we would turn away from our wicked ways, the sin of abortion, the sin of trying to change identity from who we are in nature. And also, those of us that are followers of Christ, may we take our identity in Jesus Christ as followers of Christ. And may the church step out in faith and, Father, lead the way and saying, yes, life is valuable. And we love Israel, Father. We stand with their right to exist. That doesn't mean we approve of everything they do, but we do approve of them because we know, God, you're not through with them. In 1948, you demonstrated something that a lot of folks said, where in the world does prophecy have? And, Father, we see it unfolding before us even now. And, Father, so may we repent and turn to you as especially followers of Christ, and may those that have a conscience, even from you, Father, turn away from the sin of taking and murdering babies in the womb. And, Father, for those that are for that, I pray you would impress it upon their hearts. And like Abby Johnson, and when she saw what it really was, she turned away and became an advocate for life. So, Father, I pray you would open their eyes to truth. And, Father, we pray for those that are in the path of Francine as this hurricane comes through. We're thankful that it did not grow into any more powerful than it already is. And, Father, I pray that you would help those people to have wisdom on where to go, what to do. And, Father, that you would strengthen them. And thank you for the ability we have to track those and know where they're probably going to hit and probably what's going to happen. So, Father, we thank you for that technology that we have today. Now, Father, bless this program. We look forward to just opening your word in the book of Romans to see what Paul said we have in Christ Jesus, that we neither have a license to sin nor we're not governed in legalism by the law, but we are set free in Christ to become all that we need to be in you, in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said. Well, we are in Romans chapter 6. And you know, Bert, as I was counseling with an individual earlier this week, the subject of salvation is so wonderful. Oh my goodness. I couldn't think of a better subject to really learn on and to take to heart. But when we come to Christ positionally, we've talked about it many times, positionally we are in Christ. And so the issue is settled at the moment of salvation, the issue of sonship. But throughout the rest of your journey and your Christian walk is the daily commitment to fellowship. And if a Christian feels tempted or even stumbles and sins, and we shouldn't sin, Paul is very clear, we're to not let sin, verse 14 of Romans 6, we're not to let sin have dominion over us, but positionally in Christ as a born-again believer, it's not an issue that we're lost all over again, but it is an issue of fellowship. And Bert, I just feel like I feel this as a preacher, that one of the things that we really need to help people understand very clearly, the technical word is soteriology, but it's the study of salvation, what it means to be positionally in Christ. Because when we get our mind around that we really are secure in Jesus as a believer, I really think that's very liberating, really sets people free.
It is free to be who you are in Christ, not free to sin and say, no, he saved us from our sin, not in order to sin more. And that's what Paul would say in that, God forbid, concerning the grace of God. And I do believe verse 17 of Romans chapter 6 has a lot to say. I just want to look at that and read it just for a moment, spend just a little bit of time there. But God, and underline all those, if you would, be thanked that through you, though that we were slaves to sin, Yet now you obeyed from the heart, he's talking to the Romans, and form the doctrine of which you were delivered. Listen,
Amen.
We're delivered from darkness into light, from death unto life, and that deliverance is only through Christ Jesus. We're going to continue here in Romans chapter 6, so stay tuned for more of Exploring the Word.
If ending babies' lives in their mother's wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Back to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland with you. We're in the book of Romans chapter 6. I just want to start out by reading verse 18, because if you've been saved, listen to this. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves or servants of righteousness. Listen, and you're going to be under the dominion. We talked about this just yesterday, about dominion. And we're asking you, those of you who are listening, what dominion are you under? You can be under the dominion of self. Oh, I'm making my own decisions. Well, I just want to tell you, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You don't want to go your way. I'm under the law. I go by the law. Listen, nobody can. You remember that young man that came to Jesus and he, what must I do to be saved? And then Jesus told him about the law, and he said, oh, I've kept all those things from my youth up. That was, he hadn't killed, he hadn't committed adultery. But then Jesus zeroed in on something. You remember the 10th commandment, Alex? Thou shalt not covet. And what did Jesus let him see? Man, his love and desire for money and more money was on the inside. You don't necessarily see that on the outside. So Jesus was letting us see that the law that we have comes into our lives. It's not just written on stone, but it becomes into our lives when we receive him. It works. Doesn't it work from the inside out rather than from the outside in, Alex?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It really is. You know, Warren Wiersbe, the great pastor at Moody Church, and he was a quite prolific author, but he talked about being changed from the inside out.
Yeah.
And, you know, outward reform and setting New Year's resolutions or things like that, I mean, that I suppose that has its place. But really, I just don't think we can humanly change ourselves, really. But God can change us, and God will. And verse 18, like you mentioned, I just want to read to the end of this chapter, and then we'll comment. Paul says, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now there's a word play there in verse 19 I'm going to come back to, but Paul says this, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life," or the result, the outcome of righteousness, everlasting life. And of course, the very, very famous verse, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Bert, I've got the KJV, and in verse 19, Paul says, "I speak after the manner of men." In other words, look, I'm just being as straight as I can be with you. I'm talking to you in things that you can understand. If you're living for sin, in sin, then you're a slave to sin. But having believed in Christ, you are set free. And now you are connected to, you're under the dominion of righteousness. Sin, by the way, brings death, but righteousness, everlasting life. People have asked me, how do I understand, like, you know, Romans, very complex, Colossians, Hebrews, if indeed Paul wrote Hebrews, I tend to think he did. I think the way to understand this is just so logical, so laid on the table. Take the words for what they're saying. And what Paul is saying here is that in Christ we are set free from sin.
Alex, the word there, yield, is used five times. Now, we've already justified that we're saved. That's what he did, chapter 3, 4, and 5, how we're made right with God. Now we're talking about how do you live that out, you know? The proof is in the pudding, you know? Yes. And how do you live that out? It's whom you yield yourself to. Once we're saved, we have a new nature. It is a spiritual nature. But the old nature is still there. I call it dual natured. Now, again, we're not schizophrenic. We're not that. But we are dual natured. And here it is. It says, whoever you yield your members to, that means your life. And when you think of that, think about your senses, sight, smell, speech, all the things, what you hear, all those things, what you yield your members to. If you yield it to slaves of uncleanliness, I always want to tell you, you're going to live a defeated Christian life. And there's examples of that in the Bible. And then, but if you will yield yourself, as you said in verse 19, to righteousness, which leads unto holiness, then I want to tell you, you can have what is called the victorious Christian life. You can live in victory. And that is the desire. That's who God wants that, because there's victory in that. There's joy in that. Listen, it is for a believer to walk in sin and unrighteousness. I want to tell you, that's miserable. They're probably, and I'll say this, and you take it away. Come in if you would. They're probably more miserable than anybody, you know, because they're saved and they have their citizenship in heaven. But it looks like their citizenship is anywhere but heaven. There's something wrong. There's something in there. And you yield yourself to the righteousness of God. And what the law could not do, because the law cannot change, it can identify who we are. But praise God, that's why Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he will dwell in you. Alex, listen, the Spirit-filled life, walking in the Spirit, that is, I'm just going to use this word, the secret to the victorious Christian life is yielding to the Spirit of God who's in our life.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, like you alluded to, some of the saddest, most miserable, unhappy people I've ever known have been Christians that fell into sin and decided to pursue the pleasures of sin for a season. And, you know, one of the lies of Satan, I mean, we've lived to see the rise of the gay movement, but gay used to mean happy and carefree. And yet, some of the most unhappy people I've ever known have been the people that pursued the quote-unquote gay lifestyle. Not very gay. Hey, by the way, in verse 19 I mentioned, Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity. I want to unpack just a couple of these words because there's a fascinating clause there. Yielded your members to iniquity unto iniquity. And the wording there is really lawless. There's a word antinomian, which means against the norm or against the law. And to serve sin, it really, Romans 6:19, lawlessness unto lawlessness. That's not good. But then it goes on and it says, however, if you yield your members or your life, your body, your actions, your thoughts, your priorities to righteousness, it's righteousness unto sanctification. In the King James, it says holiness, but really in the Greek, it's the word for sanctification, to be increasingly set apart. Bert, we often quote Vance Havner, and I've got some cassette tapes of him. Shortly before he died, he was on the radio, and he was talking about what you are is what you're becoming. If you're in sin and iniquity and disobedience, unless you, with God's help, turn it around, you're going to become more. You're going to get farther from God, farther into sin, deeper into the quicksand. But then, if you're growing in the Lord, sanctified, and every day getting closer and more conformed to the image of Christ, Vance Havner. And folks, if you're not familiar with who Vance Havner was, he was a great man of God. He's long since in heaven. I highly recommend his books. But Vance Havner said, I'll never forget, and I bet you can imagine that voice of his. He said, beloved, there is coming a day when what you are is what you're going to be.
Yep.
Whether sin, bondage, separated from God, or sanctified. And I think we have to take this with utmost seriousness. Every day, we are becoming something, aren't we, Bert?
We really are. And I heard one guy say it this way, you need to practice right now what you want to be. In other words, if you want to be that person that is set apart for the, you know, usage that God can use in a great way, do it now. And that's exactly what Vance Havner was saying. I've got the New King James, Alex, and you was talking about the word iniquities, and it is translated lawlessness in the New King James. And it says this, lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. That's what it does. Listen, sin, well, let me back up a minute. Have you ever heard people say, as a Christian, if you're not moving forward toward Christ, you're never stalemate. You're always going backward because stream, it's like going up a stream against the flow. It will always take you backward. Lawlessness doesn't sit still either. Let me just tell you, you've got to turn away or it grows. Lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. Have you ever heard one lie leads to another lie? That's lawlessness leading to another lawlessness. Have you talked to people that were addicted to pornography? That is a sin. It is a sin. And we say, oh, it's harmless. The problem is it leads to more. It's an addiction. And what would satisfy now will not satisfy later. It grows. So this lawlessness leads to lawlessness. But where you yield yourself to righteousness, it leads to that hagios, that's the Greek word, which means sanctified or holy, and it leads to a holy life. The word is set apart for God. You have been set apart for God to use because you've been bought with a price, and here's the key, glorify God in your bodies. That's your life. And so, Alex, this is what, I mean, Paul's laying it on the line for these Romans. He is saying this is where you go. And then verse 20, and I'll throw it back to you, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That was not a part of your life. You remember what it said over in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? though you do all these things again and again and have not love, it amounts to nothing. I want to just tell you, if you don't get your heart right, and if it's not following God, and you can line up all the things on the outside, what you say, where you go, how you help people, it is nothing. And so we're saying get right with God right now in your heart, just like that young rich young ruler when he said, no, it says he went away sad because he had much riches. Let me say this, because he would not change his covetous heart. He wanted what he had and what others had. And so here it is. God looks on the heart. When Samuel went to Bethlehem to find the king that would replace King Saul, God told him, says, now listen, Samuel, don't look on the outward appearance of man. Look on the heart. And that's what God can do. Alex, God's looking at a heart, and we need to make sure it's pure and clean and going after him. So confess known sin in your life and follow him. Paul is really sharing that to the secret of being that Christian God wants us to be.
Amen. Well, your salvation, as we've said many times, it's positional and it's processional. Positional, the moment of salvation, you're born again. But then it's processional, your life growing in the Lord all the time. And like you so well said, like either you're swimming upstream or you're just being swept away downstream. And so twice here in verse 19 and verse 22, Paul uses the word sanctification about growing. And then chapter 7 is interesting. It's very interesting. The first six verses of chapter 7 are not necessarily about marriage and divorce. But what he's saying is this, look, the way the law reads, if you're married, if a wife is married, she can't be espoused to another. But if the old husband dies, then she's free to be yoked, wedded, united with another. And it's like this, the law and sin that we were under, that is now dead and gone. And what can be the spouse now? The bridegroom. And we, if we are part of it, we're part of the bride of Christ. It's interesting. I've had people ask me about, is Romans 7 one of the classic divorce passages? It's not really saying that. It's just saying that when a husband dies, verse 2, she's loosed from the law of her husband, the marriage. That marriage is gone. And praise God, when we come to Jesus, we are no longer wedded to death, the law, condemnation, and guilt. We are wedded to, we're the bride of Christ. We have a new bridegroom, the Savior, and his salvation. That's what the first six verses of chapter 7 are trying to get across, I believe.
That's exactly right. I want to read verse 6 because you did it well in that short time. But now we have been delivered, there's that word again, from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we now serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Listen, he
beautiful.
Said it is. It's wonderful. Hey, that number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today on Exploring the Word.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Danny, the baby! baby just rolled over for the first time. Oh, what a strong little boy.
Is that a boy, son? You're on your way.
Oh, who's my strong little man?
Rollovers can be milestones in life, some early on and some later. One rollover you might consider is from your individual retirement account to a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. If you'd like to increase your retirement income and leave an impactful gift to the work of American Family Association, the charitable gift annuity is a worthwhile option. To learn more, contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. If you own an IRA, would like to increase your charitable giving, but need retirement income, the IRA to CGA rollover may be for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Linda's son, former Deputy Chief of Staff to New York Governor Kathy Hochul, and son's husband, Chris Hu, were arrested and charged for being covert agents for the Communist Chinese government. Sun and her husband were indicted for secretly working to advance the CCP agenda through high-level government work and contacts in New York. This is the latest instance of people literally working for Red China through American governmental connections. Linda Sun and Chris Hu's arrests remind me of emails discussing a $5 million deal with China, setting certain amounts aside for the big guy.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
And the Salvation Army Band is playing this hymn. And your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
Amen. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're going to get to the calls. The number, if you have a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. Hey, by the way, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to be all around the Richmond, Virginia area. There's a wonderful thing on Friday morning called Man Church, Rocky Marin, and great people around Richmond. I'll be at Berea Baptist for some sessions on Saturday. And then Sunday, an outdoor service at Hanover Farms. Now, if you're in the Richmond area, you'll probably know about that, but you can find out complete information at my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com, and you can see the calendar where I'll be. And hey, I'll come to your town too, and we'll preach the gospel and talk about biblical worldview. But Bert, are you ready to go to the calls?
Ready to go. Where do you go to first?
We begin in Arkansas. Jim in Arkansas, thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Praise God. I missed a couple of Romans, but here's what I got. I know John 3:16, everybody knows it, but everybody ought to know this. Romans 5, 7, 8, and 9. If you'll read that aloud on the air, please do so. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Can I read it, Alex?
Go ahead, Bert. Okay. That'll be fine.
I agree with Jim. I agree. Listen. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die, but God. Hey, don't you love those two words, Alex?
Amen.
But
glory.
God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, there's that word that we went over quite a few times, than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. I agree with Jim from Arkansas, Alex. That is so well put. This is what Paul's heart was. God demonstrating his love toward us, and he knew it for the Jews, but he became the apostle to the Gentiles, and he took it over that area that we now know as Turkey, over into Greece and all that area, all the way to Rome, probably all the way to Spain. He was committed to showing that demonstration of God's love for us, wasn't he?
Amen. You know, I was looking at that Romans 5:8 as you were talking, and in the original language, it says, God proved the love of himself, and that while we were yet sinners, it is the love of God that sent Christ to the cross, and he is calling out to everyone even now, and we are secure in him. Glory to God. Thank you for that call, Jim. We're going to go to Mississippi. Sherry in Mississippi, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, this is Terry. You might have got my name wrong. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Terry. Well, we're glad to have you.
I was waiting to see if a Sherry was going to answer. And then, okay, so I've heard you two refer to the apostles on a couple of occasions as those who saw the risen Christ. Now, in Matthew 10, I'm sorry, Christ refers to his 12 as apostles, and Judas Iscariot is in that group. So how was Judas Iscariot referred to as an apostle?
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. It's Terry, right? Terry. So listen, Alex. Yeah. Judas Iscariot, he did go out and commit suicide, I should say, but he was an apostle. Let me say this, Terry, to use the word fake, because Jesus knew he had a demon from the very beginning, but he had part of the ministry. It says in the book of Acts that he attained part of that ministry. He was one of those that went out two by two, but there's no evidence of him seeing the risen Lord, because he went out and hung himself, didn't he, Alex?
He did, and really the place we get that, the definition now, it is true that the disciples, they were apostles, including Judas, in the sense that they were with Jesus, the incarnate Lord. But in 1 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2, after the resurrection, Paul gives really this criteria. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the risen Christ? And the answer is, of course, he did. And so there were a lot of people who saw the risen Jesus Christ. But I would say Judas, he might have seen the incarnate Lord, but he certainly wasn't a believer or a follower. He betrayed Jesus, and he ended up committing suicide, and Jesus said that he went to his place. My goodness, Bert, was it you that had a message, the one who kissed the face of God but went to hell?
I've got that message. I got the idea from an evangelist a few years ago, Brother Darrell, Barrels his last name, and then I heard a message, you can miss God by a foot. In other words, there's about 12 inches from your brain to your heart, and I know that's figurative and everything, but you can be real close, and never make it. It's like that, you know, all is sin and come short of the glory of God. Alex, if you come short, it doesn't matter how close you got, you know? Mm-hmm. You've come short. You've missed the mark. And Judas missed the mark.
Yes, that's true. Terry, thank you for the call. Chris in Tennessee. Chris, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, Alex, Bert. Hey, I just want to make a comment about Paul. When you read Paul, especially like in the book of Romans, we got to pay very close attention, because he's talking to those Jews. If you were living in that time, you were a Jew. You studied Judaism, and that was part of your culture. Judaism was either was a Sadducees, a Pharisees, a Essenes, or a diaspora. But when you made that comment about 7:1 about the divorce, that also parallels to Corinthians 7:1, where he talks to the believers about who can marry and who can't marry. Actually, he tells you when your spouse dies that you can marry, but if your spouse is still alive, you're supposed to be reconciled back to your wife. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. That's in 1 Corinthians 7.
So, that's true. 1 Corinthians 7:39, and Paul's position on marriage and divorce there is no conflict. I think the thing that I was wanting to point out in Romans 7 was that he was making kind of an illustration like we are not wedded to the law and its condemnation anymore. It's dead because we've turned to Christ, and now we are espoused or wedded to Jesus the Savior.
Alec, you agree, Bert? I agree fully. By the way, we've got calls that you can come in, and that number is 888-589-8840. We've got lines that are open. Alex, you're exactly right. In Romans 7, 1 through 6, he uses that as illustrative material concerning the law and the relationship we have, that we're no longer there. And we have a new one, and it's in our relationship with Christ. You're no longer wed to the law. You are wed to Christ in grace. And so it was used as an illustration. It's a good illustration. It's an accurate, but his purpose was not to teach about marriage and divorce and remarriage there the way it was in Corinthians. That was his purpose in Corinthians, whereas this, it was illustrative, Alex. You did a good job of sharing that.
Vernda in Texas. Vernda, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Vernda with a V.
Vernda with a V. Well, thank you for holding. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I know you know, the scripture that's talking to the Old Testament prophet, and I can't remember all the details, but I know God said that he knew exactly how many Israelites have not bowed the knee. I think it was Baal was the God back then.
Okay, I think I got you. Was he Elijah? And when he was thinking he was the only one, and God let him know, was it 7,000? What was the 1,000 number?
Yes, and that's in 1 Kings 19. I have left me. I love this. God says, I've left me 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So there was a bigger remnant than Elijah might have realized. And isn't it something, for those that don't bow the knee to sin and the world and false teaching and Baal, it's for God himself. Not just I've left 7,000, but I have left me 7,000.
Amen.
Because those that are faithful to the truth are faithful to the one who's the source of truth, and that's God.
Alex, if he can know a sparrow falling from the sky, and he knows the hairs on her head and they're numbered, I think he has the ability. Well, I don't say think. I know he has the ability to know those that had not bowed the knee, and he had them for himself. Is that still true today? No matter if they're in the deepest, darkest, most remote place on the earth, and they know Jesus Christ, God knows where they are, doesn't he?
He really does. And, you know, I get very concerned about the state of this country. I think God has his remnant here, too, and I think it's big. I just want to see the remnant of true believers of the living God pray, influence others, speak up, and stand strong for truth, don't you?
Amen. It is that time, and we're praying. In AFR, we're on the front line of trying. Remember what we try to do? We try to inform, educate, and activate. And part of that activation is voting. You got to register first and then vote, and vote as godly as you can. Listen, there's never been a perfect candidate. Never will. I love Abraham Lincoln. I love to read about George Washington. But listen, the flaws, they're there, maybe more severe in others. So you're looking, where are they going to carry us? Are they going to carry us in one that's toward God or away from God? As best we can, we want to go with God. So, Alex, good word, and we want to be advocates for that stewardship of our citizenship, don't we?
We do. We do. Folks, you are a steward, and one of the steward issues is your vote, and we pray you'll cast it in a godly direction. Okay, Eric from Texas. Thank you for holding, Eric. Welcome.
Well, hi. Yeah, I've talked to you guys maybe twice in my life here, and I heard your program on a radio actually weeks ago, and you were talking about the word paradise. And I just happened to think, I never did get to hear everything you said, so I might not be saying anything, but years ago I found myself being an unqualified interim pastor of a flock where the shepherd had left. And I, on Easter, I taught the seven sayings of Christ, and on paradise, I found that it was a Persian word. It describes the lavish gardens of kings. Nobody was allowed in the garden but the king and his mate or his best friend.
Amen.
Yes, I called it the garden. Yes, where God walks with his friend.
Amen, Eric. Thank you for that. Let me just do this. I'm doing our fishbowl retreat that Jenny and I hold each year for AFR. It's full up, and that's the reason you hadn't had the advertisements. We filled up very quickly this year, and that's what we're going to be doing. Ray Pritchard's going to be our guest preacher, and we're doing the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross because they were seven sayings of love, Alex. He demonstrated his love. We talked about that word demonstrated that we read earlier today. He did that, and we want to examine that. So these seven sayings, but one of those sayings was to the one of the thieves on the cross. And I'll set this up and let you take it away. Have you ever heard anybody, and I have, had somebody tell me, I was witness to them about the Lord, and the guy said, well, I'm going to be like the thief on the cross. Now, here was my response. Which one? Which one?
Oh, wow.
And because, listen, today's the day of salvation. You don't need to delay any longer. You have no assurance that you're going to be here tomorrow to be like that thief on the cross. You better get right with God right now. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, that's a good word. Yes, there was what scholars used to call the penitent thief, but there was only one, and there was also an impenitent thief. And the thing is, none of us know when we're going to die. I think it's very presumptuous to say, and I've had people say this too, you know, well, one of these days, after I get some living done and I do some things that I'm planning on doing, I'll turn to God one of these days. Bird, there's this old saying, it says, many who think they're going to turn to God at the 11th hour die at 10:30. The other thing is about procrastination. You have no idea the Holy Spirit is going to be calling you. If you're listening right now and you're thinking about your soul, it is not the world, the flesh, or the devil. It is the Spirit of God. And you just don't know that you'll have another time. Bert, you know I do a lot of traveling, and it always makes my heart heavy. Even this summer, I drove through Atlanta several times, and I was all over the West Coast, and we're doing our youth camps. I saw several really bad car wrecks out on the highways. And folks, here's the thing. Death can come instantaneously. Be ready. Turn to Christ if you haven't already. We always say it, but it's so true. Jesus is as close by as a prayer.
Amen. Paradise, let me just tell you something. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. That, listen, the best thing about heaven is not the pearl gates, the walls of jasper, the golden street. It is Jesus Christ, and we worship him. That's what they did. Worthy is the Lamb. That's the whole message from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, Alex. We want folks to be in heaven glorifying him one day. So thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. May God bless you. Tell someone about this program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.